I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. You've heard us talk about the war in Yemen. We use phrases like worst humanitarian crisis on earth.
And the war just entered its fourth year, Marco.
The World's Stephen Snyder follows Yemen for us at The World.
And we're talking about it this time with the help of a young couple who live just north of the Bronx. I drove down from Boston to see them at the end of February.
My name is Muntasir Yagnam. I was born in Yemen.
Muntasir Yagnam is wearing jeans, a sweater, and a leather jacket. He has short hair, trimmed beard. He drives for Uber. He studied English literature in Yemen. He was a teacher there and a human rights activist calling for political change back in 2011.
So the Arab Spring, the Arab uprising.
That's right. And around then, Muntasir got into this online conversation with a woman in the U.S. with roots in Yemen. Her name is Summer Nasser.
Okay, so I was born in Bronx, New York. I've been raised here in the United States, and right now I'm a full-time student.
Summer Nasser is 23. She wears a traditional headscarf. Her face is composed when she speaks, but it lights up when she laughs.
She was in New York City, and we were, like, chatting in Facebook, and I was posting pictures of the projects and all that.
He was actively following my publications,
right.
Yes. He enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
So she was blogging a lot about Yemen and being Yemeni in America. They decided to meet in Yemen since Summer travels there a lot to see her family, and then they got engaged.
This is a love story.
March 26, 2015, their wedding ceremony is just a few days away in Aden, which is a port city in Yemen, and
the street wars broke out, and the first bomb fell from a Saudi jet that night, and it was just me and my mom and my siblings.
And Muntasir, her soon-to-be husband, he was 200 miles away, texting, calling frantically.
Wow. I mean, people like shooting and bombardment and everything. I mean, I was so worried about her and her family.
So this is not just a love story, it's also a war story.
Saudi Arabia says its airstrikes against Shia Houthi rebels who seized power in Yemen will continue until their military capabilities are severely hampered.
Just a little background on the war and a few names. There's a militant group from northern Yemen called the Houthis. They're named after their leader. About 3 years ago, the Houthis banded together with soldiers who are loyal to the former dictator, Ali Abdullah Saleh.
Who ruled for like a quarter century or so.
That's right. They get together. They take over northern Yemen, including the capital where Muntasir Yagnam lives.
Muntasir, the groom.
And this huge Houthi army marches south to the very bottom of the country where Summer is staying with her relatives.
Right, so this is the very beginning of the war in Yemen.
Well, clashes like this were not new, but this was a sharp escalation. And then neighbor countries got in the fight, sending air forces in to bomb Houthi positions. It's 10 Arab countries in all, led by U.S. allies Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates.
So it's the Houthi rebels with Yemeni soldiers on one side against other Yemenis backed by the Saudi-led coalition.
And the Saudi-led war could not happen without U.S. and U.K. arms supplies as well as logistical help.
Samuel Perlow Freeman manages the Global Arms and Corruption Program at the World Peace Foundation just outside Boston. He says the U.S. connection to the Yemen war is clear.
The U.S. is actually helping the Saudis with their logistics, with their targeting. And in choosing to continue to supply arms to Saudi, the UAE, Egypt, and the other coalition partners, they are choosing to continue fueling this war.
The U.S. connection is deep, and we'll explain how deep.
Okay, so thanks for that background, but let's get back to Muntasir and Summer.
It's 2015. Muntasir is in Yemen's capital, Sana'a. Summer is in Aden, the southern city where the major fighting is, and where their wedding is supposed to be. And you actually spoke with Summer back then, remember?
And how safe are you all feeling right now with these Saudi airstrikes?
We're not feeling so great. you know, coming from the States to this kind of situation, and to be honest with you, I never thought I would say this, but we really don't know if we would wake up the next morning. I mean, that's...
When I was talking with Summer in New York in February, I asked her about that moment in 2015.
I used to wake up at night. Me and my sister, we would take shifts of one to sleep. You know, she would do morning, I would do night, and each of us would hold a weapon.
Probably not the best time for a wedding.
Nobody would attend a wedding anyways during that time. I had flowers shipped in from Ethiopia. I'm not even lying. And I had to cancel that. I was really bummed out.
The wedding was off.
I really felt devastated because we've been like waiting for this for too long.
The fighting was very dangerous where Summer was. She needed to go north where it was a little safer. There were still Saudi airstrikes there, but no street fighting. And Muntazir was there.
Okay, so Summer got to Sana'a and to Muntazir, and they're getting married?
Yeah, but Summer's dad can't be there. He's in New York City, and nobody's able to fly in. The airport's been bombed. Summer's relatives in South Yemen, they can't get there either, for basically the same reason.
I know. She was, like, really devastated about the wedding. But we were, like, going through, like, very tough circumstances.
But they do put on a wedding. Nothing fancy. It's in Muntazir's parents' house in Sana'a, and they kind of throw it together. So I asked Summer and Muntazir what music they played at their wedding. This one is by a singer from southern Yemen. His name is Fuad Abdul Wahid.
And what's he singing about?
It's a love song, a man admiring a woman's beauty, asking her to bring him a cup and make him drink it. And in some lines, the singer jumps from admiring her to asking her to dance.
I love this. I mean, this is such great music.
So Summer remembers the wedding really well. She remembers this moment when all the men came into the room where she and the women were, and they were bringing Muntazir.
At first, like, he comes in and everybody starts clapping and
dancing. Dancing. Some music, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, he kissed my forehead, and we went into the Arabian room setting that they have in every traditional home. And the family was there, a woman came up congratulating, and, his brothers and his father and all of them. And then they all stepped out, and then we got to have our time to talk.
But not a lot of time. There are fighter jets flying over Sana'a, and the house they're in, it's right next door to a military target.
We left early because everybody leaves at that time due to the strikes. And all of a sudden, we're leaving the house, and all we hear is the planes. And you see them flashing, right? And I said, oh my God, like, holy crap. So all of a sudden, my mom sees the planes, and she freaks out, right? So she's like, oh my God. And all the siblings, we all got squished in one car because the first airstrike hit. And it was very close. It's so funny. Like, and now I think about it, it should be a movie. That night, I could not sleep because of the airstrikes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really
like,
bad.
The doors are like, I remember the doors were like really shaking.
Yeah.
Really shaking because of how strong the earth was shaking because of the rockets hitting.
And, you know, my mom would call every 10 minutes.
Are you okay?
Are you okay? And I'm like, no, are you okay? You know?
Sana'a is a city under siege. Airstrikes day in, day out. The campaign is led by Saudi Arabia and backed by the West.
In May 2015, President Obama met with Arab leaders at Camp David. You might remember this.
Mm.
And later, the Obama administration fast-tracked the sale of major weapons to coalition countries. Saudi Arabia alone bought $1.29 billion worth of bombs, $1.15 billion worth of tanks, and $500 million of ammunition. Back in Yemen, Summer and Muntazir were still living under bombs. The war showed no signs of ending. And they were thinking about fleeing to the United States. And right then, we talked with Summer on the show again.
Summer Nasser went to Yemen this spring to visit her family and got stuck in the war.
Right now, it's about 5:30. There's jets over us. As you can hear, the anti-aircraft missiles and gun shootings. From what I know, they're hitting the airport. Listen closely. Basically, we hear them over us. I mean, we really don't know where they strike until we see smoke.
Oh my gosh.
So they're going to get out of Yemen, but it isn't easy. They do get out, though. They fly out and they get as far as Amman, Jordan, and Muntazir's visa becomes a problem there. U.S. officials won't grant him a visa. He can't come to the United States. 5 months they're stuck in Amman. Summer flies back to New York City to try to speed up the process. And 9 months after that, Muntazir gets his visa.
When I picked him up at the airport, he was so excited. And I said, you know, welcome to your new home. And this is it, you know. Took him to the car and I drove around. We drove everywhere. We drove over the bridges and he couldn't believe it. He was so excited. I said, you're going to let me like focus on driving? Because I can't drive, you know, when you're so excited. And, you know, to be together was like a... It was truly a blessing after all of that. I mean, to be honest, now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wow, this is really what we went through.
Yeah. Summer and Muntazir, they escaped the war, and it's never far from their thoughts.
We have to wake up every morning, and we have to sleep every night, checking our phones. That last 10 minutes before 10 o'clock, we have to check our social networks. We have to check our family.
What are Summer and Muntazir doing now, Stephen?
Well, Muntazir's driving for Uber. Summer is finishing up her undergrad degree. She's still a college student.
Yeah.
She's also a paralegal, and they work together with other young Yemeni professionals. They started up a charity called Yemen Aid. Love that name, Yemen Aid. And when we spoke at the end of February, the group had loaded up a 40-foot shipping container with medical equipment and supplies and sent it to hospitals in Yemen, and there's a second container on the way right now. One last thing I wanted to share, and there's some nice tweeting birds in the background. This is the sound of the street outside Summer and Muntazir's apartment. It's quiet, it's February, gray skies, raining a little bit. And after going out for some great New York Yemeni food with them, I drive back to Boston. I'm taking Connecticut Route 15.
I know that drive, Merritt Parkway.
In half a mile, exit to exit 53, State Route 110, Stratford, Shelton.
Now, you probably know this huge building off to the left if you're driving north. It's the headquarters of the Sikorsky Aircraft Corporation.
Always pointed out to my kid.
Can't miss it.
Turn right on Main Street, then turn right.
So they make the Black Hawk helicopter. It's just one of the items that the Saudi-led coalition countries buy from the United States in huge numbers.
Yeah, there is plenty of support for the Saudi position, though, right? I mean, especially to hold the line against Iran and to support America's Arab allies.
Proceed to the roof.
And there are strong arguments for the U.S. to stay engaged with Saudi Arabia to help the Saudis and the UAE do a better job of targeting military, not civilian targets. But after 3 years, the Houthis still control Yemen's capital. 10,000 Yemenis have died in the war. Cholera and diphtheria are widespread. 2 million people have been driven from their homes by the fighting. 18 million Yemenis don't have enough food. And the war in Yemen shows no sign of ending.
And in the middle of all that, there's Summer and Muntazir. I had no idea she was even getting married. Stephen Snyder, thanks very much for bringing us their story.
My pleasure.